today, we're going to focus on phrasal verbs. So you're going to learn 10 phrasal verbs and how to use them grammatically as well as in a real life sense. And remember to let me know in the comments where you're from and what business or what industry you're in so I can keep creating videos to help you. Now, something that we're going to do, in addition to the actual phrasal verbs, which we'll focus on 10 today, I'm also going to help you elevate your English pronunciation, because the key to fluency, the key to advanced English, is getting out of just individual words. So what we're going to focus on today is pronunciation, but specifically connected speech. And this is going to help you sound a lot smoother and be able to speak real life American English. And if this is something that you're interested in learning even more, download my free masterclass at tanyasuarez.com/masterclass. Now, the first phrasal verb we have is look into. Now, notice when I say it individually, look into. So it's very clear, very enunciated. But you'll notice when we do the example, how it changes when you're using it conversationally. Now, to look into something, it can mean literally like look into, but in the business context, it usually means to investigate or examine a situation or issue thoroughly. Now, the example, we need to look into the feasibility of expanding our business into new markets. Now, we're going to break this down because this is how you're going to elevate your English exponentially instead of just little by little. So it's not just the pronunciation and definition of look into. Let's take a look at what it sounds like and what it does within the sentence. So we need to look into. The first thing you notice there is the reduction, not to. So we need to look into. Notice how instead of look in, the K sound, so this is linking, we have the K, we have a consonant sound, followed by a vowel sound, lookin. So the K actually sounds more connected to the next word, into. So we need to look into the feasibility. The S in feasibility sounds more like a Z. So you'll notice there's a little bit of vibration. So if you're saying feasibility, that's going to sound accented. Nothing wrong with that. It doesn't cause confusion. But if you're working on your American accent, this can be something subtle that really refines your pronunciation. Feasibility. So we need to look into the feasibility of X. So here we have a connection, but of sounds, the F sounds more like a V. So when it connects to the E of expanding, it's going to not be of expanding. The feasibility of expanding our business into new markets. If you're saying this whole sentence, when you're practicing this on your own and you're pausing the video and you're saying everything in one breath, number one, that's exhausting. Number two, it's going to make you sound more robotic. In American English, we don't just do the sentence. We really, the way that we take the rhythm, the intonation is going to be in chunks. So we need to look into, it's kind of the first one, we need to look into the feasibility of expanding our business into new markets. So for the intonation, if you notice that your rhythm, if that's really what you're struggling with, which most of my clients at this level, that's where the struggle is. It's knowing, what do I emphasize? Where do I pause? What's the rhythm? As a rule of thumb, we typically in American English, the intonation is there's kind of a break every 3 to 5 words. So that's typically the pattern. So if you're pausing every 2 words, that's going to feel unnatural. And it's also going to lend to that robotic intonation. So we need to look into the feasibility of expanding our business into new markets. So there's actually 4 sections with regards to intonation. And this is not an exact science because it depends on your message, your delivery. So it's okay to play around with it until you find the rhythm that feels like it's expressing your message the way that you need to. The next one, break down. This means to analyze or examine something in detail, often to understand its components or causes. Such fancy definitions. I don't want you to waste your time. Not waste, but you know what? Yeah, at this level, it's wasting. I don't want you to memorize definitions. That is academic English. That's a more traditional approach. at this level, and if you're using this for business English, you need to know how to use a phrase, how to recognize the phrase when it's being spoken. So don't memorize definitions. You're going to get more, like, sure, read it once just to get a nice sense of what the expression is. But I'd rather you invest that time in reading 10 examples instead of trying to memorize the definition. I promise you, this is going to let you feel more comfortable with the expression and increase the chances of you feeling comfortable enough to use it. So we'll break it down for them. Now, something important here is if I were to use the information, for example, we'll break down the information for them. But then when I say it, so when information turns into it, notice how it goes in between the phrasal verb. So this is something interesting that you'll notice. Some phrasal verbs you can split and some you can't. Don't get nervous. You don't have to memorize all of them. Remember, the approach that I coach and that I want for you, figure out of the hundreds and hundreds of phrasal verbs, you're going to be exposed to a lot, but I really want you to focus on pick like 1 to 3 per week. Go on ChatGPT, create examples that are really niche to your how you would actually use it, and then observe when the phrasal verb is split and when it isn't. So don't stress out too much. You'll learn through using it. So let's work on the pronunciation here. We'll break it, break it. So notice when you're learning it, break it. It's very aspirated, very sharp. But with American English, it's a lot softer. We'll break it down. So the K links to the I, and then the T, it's going to be, you're going to stop it, but you have to do the tongue in the T position. So if you say break it down, that's going to sound off. Even if you don't hear the difference, I'm here to tell you it sounds off to a native speaker. So the trick is you need to have the tongue in the T position, but you're not going to do the air. So instead of break it, just leave your tongue there, break it. And this is very characteristic of American English. So British English tends to be a lot more aspirated in terms of the T at the end of words. We don't. Break it down for them. For. You can say for, that's correct as well, but Americans tend to use the reduced form of this word. So it's more, instead of for, like the number four, for. Break it down for them. Yeah, we'll break it down for them. Maybe they want the client wants more information, they don't understand the structure, and you're like assuring the team, like, don't worry about it, we'll break it down for them, everything will be really clear. Notice what I'm doing there. You start off with the pronunciation, then you work on the connected speech. And then to really master intonation, you have to add visualization. I really visualize, okay, someone's asking me, there's confusion, I'm trying to reassure them. So notice that my intonation was very positive, very reassuring. Like, yeah, we'll break it down for them. If your visualization is frustration and you're like, oh, that client never gets it. Like, yeah, we'll break it down for them. So it changes and you can have fun with it. So you can do different visualizations to help you play around with intonation. Follow up. So this means to pursue or take further action regarding something that has been started or discussed earlier. So to follow up. I find that this one, we probably use the most of all the phrasal verbs in this list. We follow up about everything. To circle back, to follow up, to touch base. Those are all kind of in the same family. So after the initial meeting, the sales representative will follow up with potential clients. So here, remember again, we want to make sure that we are not saying everything in one breath. So if you did, that's okay. This is why with my training, I always have people read one sentence 3 times. The first one, you're just kind of getting to know what the message is. The second one, you start doing more connected speech. You kind of start breaking it apart into chunks instead of one thing. And then the third one with the visualization, that's where the magic happens, the intonation. So after the initial meeting, so notice that initial, and this is actually a masterclass I just uploaded to the program last month, the T sounds like an SH. And if you don't know, I'm telling you here, with the masterclass I just recorded, there are 6 ways that Americans pronounce the letter T. I think it's fascinating. you may find it frustrating, but I promise you, if you're in the advanced pronunciation program, go to that masterclass and it'll give you so much clarity. You'll understand when we use it and why. After the initial meeting, so that's one chunk, right? The sales representative, that's another one. The sales representative will follow up with a potential client. So I would say this one sentence, you can break it down into probably three sections. You could do more, but I would say that's okay. And again, it's not an exact science. It depends on the situation. So now we're going to visualize. Okay, I'm talking to, trying to like get all the meetings organized. It's going to be a very professional voice. After the initial meeting, the sales representative will follow up with potential clients. So maybe you can think of yourself, okay, I'm leading the team. I'm letting them know what the sales protocol is. I'm doing a training so that everyone's on the same page. So you've got your leader voice. Good. Next one, work out. This means in this context, to resolve or solve a problem, conflict, or issue, to come to a satisfactory conclusion. So this is different than going to the gym, right? You can go to the gym and work out. So here in the business context, and that's where it's important, if you're using ChatGPT, like I teach you in the pronunciation program, that's where you really want to make sure you're specific. I need 10 examples using the phrasal verb work out in a business context. I'm the director of sales for a tech company, and I need to use this term in meetings often. That ChatGPT prompt is going to give you sentences that will be so relevant to you. That's what I love about the customization. So if you're going through my pronunciation program, that's the last part. You go through all the training and then there's customization. How to use AI, how to use technology to make sure that you're getting practice. That's for you because you're not a student anymore. You're not going to do all of these different like workouts and workbooks and worksheets. Mm-mm. We're going to get exactly the practice you need so that you can use it immediately. Now let's take a look at the example. The negotiation took longer than expected, but eventually we worked it out. So here, negotiation, another great example of when the T sounds like an SH. The negotiation took longer than expected. So that's one chunk. The negotiation took longer than expected. Don't rush through it. Even when the chunks are a little bit longer, like I said, rule of thumb, our typical rhythm is every 3 to 5 words. If it's a little bit longer, or if it has words that have a lot of syllables, take your time with it. Rushing through is not going to make you sound more fluent. It's not the speed. It's actually using connected speech and more natural intonation. That's where people are going to perceive you as being more fluent. So the negotiation took longer than expected, but eventually we worked it out. Now, if you were in academic mode, usually when you're learning the rules of grammar, they don't recommend, or some people are very against, finishing sentences or ending sentences with prepositions. But in real life English, and especially with phrasal verbs, it happens a lot. So this is something that it's controversial for linguists and for English teachers, but I believe in coaching the real life application of language, especially in the business context. So now we're going to visualize, okay, I'm the CEO, I'm giving an update to the company, and this is a good thing. Like, we had some tough moments, but I'm going to let them know that everything's fine. The negotiation took longer than expected, but eventually we worked it out. So this is where you can also work on your executive presence. You need to, this is where visualization helps you to, again, get better results faster. Because I don't want you just to use more phrasal verbs. I want you to have strong executive presence. I want you to earn respect. I want you to feel good. And so this is really important because how you use language, how you present yourself, that's what's going to help you feel good. The next phrasal verb, deal with. In this context, it means to handle or manage a situation, task, or person, especially one that is difficult or challenging. So to deal with something. She's good at dealing with difficult customers and resolving their issues efficiently. And in this case, if I were to say it to substitute difficult customers, she's good at dealing with it. So in this case, I would not put it in between. I wouldn't split the phrasal verb. So this is where you want to learn grammar through observation. So I don't want you to get stressed and try to look up rules. Just make sure that the phrasal verb that you're picking that you want to use that's relevant for your speaking, that's the one you want to figure out. So for the pronunciation, she's good at. So here we have linking, but notice that when it links, I'm not doing a very hard D. So I'm not saying she's good at. It's very light. Good at that. Good at. She's good at dealing with difficult customers and resolving their issues efficiently. Now here, even though customers ends in a consonant and then and begins with a vowel, I actually don't do linking there because of the intonation, because this is a separate section and I find that pausing will actually make it sound clearer. That's where I'm choosing. So this is again where it depends on how you're saying it and what your purpose is. So that definitely impacts your connected speech. Let's try again. Relax your shoulders. Now I want you to visualize. You're complimenting your star team member. So you're like really trying to, you're telling, let's say you're the manager and you're telling your executives like this person, she's got it. All right. She's good at dealing with difficult customers and resolving their issues efficiently. So notice there, once I had the visualization of I'm really trying to promote this team member that I have to executives, I emphasized and. So I'm trying to say she's got double the skills. It's not just dealing with them, but she also resolves their issues. So this is where you play around and the visualization impacts intonation, and it's such good practice. To fill in, to provide information or complete a form, document, or gap. Now, this is interesting to me because there are different, this is also where phrasal verbs have different meanings. So it can mean to provide information. For example, fill in the document. However, there are other meanings. And this is where when you get the examples, I want you to be open-minded. Or this is also another reminder of why I don't want you to memorize. Because if you only memorize that definition, when you hear this in the context that I have up here, it's going to be confusing. And you won't be able to go with the flow as easily. So can you fill in for me while I'm on vacation next week? So of course, I don't mean I want you to put your name on something or complete a form. When used in this context, it means, can you work for me? So I'm taking a vacation. Can you do my work? Can you make up for anything that needs to get done that my position would normally do? Let's try it for pronunciation. Can you? So notice here, it's not can. Americans use the reduced form, can. It's almost like the A is gone. So you just imagine a K-N. Can you fill in, lin? So you've got connected speech, got the consonant with the vowel. And this is only part of connected speech, by the way. We also have blending. We have other kind of subcategories. And this is all the techniques that I teach you in the advanced pronunciation program. So can you fill in? Can you fill in for me? So notice there, not four. As a warning, the number four is always that. We never reduce that. F-O-R, that can be reduced. Can you fill in for me while I'm on? So notice there, the L, because the E is silent, so technically it ends in a consonant sound. The L in while connects to the I in I'm. The M in I'm connects to the O in on. So this is where Americans sound like they're speaking faster, but it's not speed. It's that they don't have the pauses in between every single word. So that makes it sound more fluid. But this is why I always tell you, don't speak faster and think that people are going to think you're more fluent. It's about these particular techniques. Let's try again. Can you fill in for me? So that's one chunk. Can you fill in for me while I'm on vacation next week? So there you could divide it into two, or while I'm on vacation next week. So with intonation, it's not necessarily a full pause, but it's just that rhythm. So, okay, you're asking a favor. You're trying to be extra, you know, polite and hope that your colleague says yes. All right, visualize. Can you fill in for me while I'm on vacation next week? Good. I notice it's vacation. So not vaca, vacation, good. Put off, to postpone or delay something until a later time or date. All right, so here, and it, you could also put say the word delay. So this is where you choose. You're going to learn a lot of phrasal verbs and you think, okay, I like that one. I'm glad that I can understand it if someone says it to me because that causes confusion, but now you have that clarity. But maybe you still like to use the word postpone or delay. That's fine. It's up to you. So due to unforeseen circumstances, we had to put it off. And now that I've sharpened up your observation skills, you'll notice that when we use it instead of put off the meeting, if we use it, we would split the phrasal verb, put it off. So due to, we use a reduction. So not to, which is not wrong. It just sounds overly formal to Americans. T-O-O, never reduced, always to. The number two, always to. T-O can be to or to. Due to unforeseen circumstances. So the first C sounds like an S. Circumstances. We had to put it off. Put it off. So this can be tricky because the T's, both put and it, turn into more of a flap T, which is that like TD sound. So it's softer. Put it off. This is why I was mentioning that this is one of the situations where if you're not really comfortable with the flap T sound, number one, go do the masterclass in my pronunciation program if you're in it. And if not, sign up and get more practice so you can feel more comfortable because Americans use the flap T a lot. That being said, as you're working on it, you could also say we had to delay it. So I want you at this level, remember, you're already at these high level positions. You're not there because you speak perfect English. You're there because you can communicate clearly and you have really good technical skills. So in order to communicate clearly, always pick the words and structure that make you feel more confident. Next one, run by. This means to inform or consult someone about a plan, idea, or decision for their input or approval. So this is interesting because I find that, especially when I work with clients and they tell me about some confusing moments that they had, usually it's because of idioms or phrasal verbs. Because this one, if you're like, oh, I'm gonna run it by whatever, and you're like, why are they running? You might take it literally. Of course, once you get the context, you might understand what it means. But when you hear something, you take it literally and you're trying to figure it out, the other person's still talking. So even though you're going to figure it out later through context, you're missing out on the interaction and you're also usually losing the energy and confidence that you had. So that's why I always encourage you with phrasal verbs, idiomatic expressions, all that good stuff. Feel comfortable listening to it and then pick the few that you want to actually use. So let's look at the example. Before finalizing the proposal, I need to run it by the CEO for feedback. So before finalizing the proposal, so notice that the S in proposal sounds like a Z. So it's not proposal, proposal. And it's not zal, but zul. So it's pra, and then po. So the first O is more of a schwa, pra. The second one is o, like no, po, proposal. So not sal, but zul. And I'm really focusing on that one in particular because in business, you're going to use that word a lot. So that's always my approach. Identify your high frequency words, get those first, and then you can, I don't say worry, but then you can explore other words. So before finalizing the proposal, I need to run it by, so notice here, run by, but we split it when you're using it, run it by the CEO. When you're referring to C-suite level, take your time because when I coach non-native speakers and they say CEO, it usually sounds like CO. And the CO is a different position. Make sure, don't say these faster. When you have things that are letters, specifically positions, take your time. CEO. I need to run it by the CEO for feedback. Take your time. Clarity is the number one priority with pronunciation work. And then here, notice it for, not for, but for feedback. Good. phase out. This means to gradually discontinue or remove something, usually over a period of time. All right. Now notice that for the pronunciation, the S sounds like a Z. So it's not face, and the PH sounds like an F. So it's not face out, but phase out. The company plans to phase out the use of plastic packaging by the end of the year. Okay, so you've done the pronunciation. Now we're going to look at the chunks and the meaning. The company plans to phase out the use of plastic packaging by the end of the year. So notice that when you're practicing with that much intention, the personality leaves and you're still kind of robotic. You sound like a more natural robot, but a robot nonetheless. So now for the third part, the visualization. Okay, let's pretend you are the director of production and you're laying out the new initiatives. And this is the second quarter meeting. All right. So you're in the meeting, it's your turn. Let's say you're visualizing your own office. People in your office don't tend to stand up. It's a long table, the lighting's dim. Okay. Like really get into detail with the visualization. All right, it's your turn. So Tanya, can you tell us about where we're heading with production? Sure. Yeah, thank you. So the company plans to phase out the use of plastic packaging by the end of the year. So do you see how I even visualize and like, what are they going to ask me when it's my turn? So then you kind of get that a little bit of nerves, because I want you to practice feeling anxiety, feeling nerves or excitement, and performing through it. This is why I coach the way I do, because it's not about being perfect in a perfect setting. You really need to trigger the anxiety you're going to feel. Notice how it changed how I responded. I didn't just say the company plans. I said, yeah, of course. Thank you. So the company plans. So it changes the way, and you get to figure out, do you know what to say in those moments to transition into your message, or do you need to work on that? All right. And last but not least, wrap up. To finish or conclude something, often by completing remaining tasks or summarizing key points. All right, to wrap up. Notice how there, if we're doing it individually, wrap up. But notice what happens when we use it in real life. Let's wrap up the meeting with a summary of the main decisions made. So there, it's less aspirated. You don't hear the pff. But the P can be difficult for certain cultures. So you want to make sure that if you're from a linguistic background where your P's sound like B's, this is something you're going to want to work on, because you don't want it to sound like rabub. That's going to cause confusion. Because again, having the perfect American accent is not everyone's goal, and that's okay. But having clear pronunciation for communication, that needs to be the priority. And this is one of those cases where the accent does get in the way of clear communication. So let's wrap up. Let's wrap up the meeting. Let's wrap up the meeting with a th. So there you have the unvoiced TH. So if you did the master class for the TH, this is the one where you put your hand and you can feel the air. Th. With a summary of the main decisions made. Okay. I know what we're saying. We did the pronunciation. We worked on the message. Now visualization. You are the lead of the meeting. You've gone through all the slides. It's time to finish. And you just want to make sure you do a recap, right? A wrap up. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Let's wrap up the meeting with a summary of the decisions made. So do you see how, again, you want to visualize, because that helps you in this case, like, all right, everyone, or great job, everyone, or thank you for that information if you're the lead and other people are presenting. And notice how I slow down a summary of the decisions made. You slow down for effect. There I'm thinking, okay, I've got a bunch of people. They just sat through an hour meeting. Everyone's tired, but I need to make sure that they really understand what decisions were made and how to move forward. So that influenced why I slowed down at the end to get attention. Part of executive presence is knowing how to get people's attention without having to always say, okay, listen up. Come on, everyone. Because then I feel like you're going to feel like a kindergarten teacher. And that can lead to having the reputation where you're a little bit condescending. So by using intonation and silence is also very powerful to get people's attention, that increases your leadership and your executive presence. All right. And thank you so much. Speaking of leadership, if you are interested in one-on-one coaching for your leadership communication, specifically designed for non-native speakers, I encourage you to apply at tanyasuarez.com/leadership. And remember to download your free masterclass so that you can get more practice understanding connected speech, as well as some of the, in this particular masterclass, I go over the two hardest sounds, which are the American R and the TH. And I also go into not only connected speech, but how you can optimize your practice. Thank you so much for showing up today, for being here, being present. Remember, when you're watching this again, make sure you're pausing me and you're repeating after me. If you just listen, that's only going to increase your knowledge of English. And none of you are here for that. You're here to improve your speaking skills. So that means working out the muscles, hearing yourself, feeling awkward, so that you can then feel more confident. And the number one tip I have for you is, remember, if you do nothing else, read one sentence 3 times every day. It is a 20-second practice. I have all my clients do this and text me their recordings for feedback. It is that important and that impactful. So I leave you with that. Thank you so much for coming today, and I hope to see you next week.